Hey, cashiers. We Have the Receipts podcast is coming at you live from Netflix is a Joke Fest in Los Angeles.
Chris, are you kidding?
No, Netflix is a joke, Courtney, but this is not one of them. Our listeners in LA have the chance to join us for a live recording of our podcast, We Have the Receipts, hosted by me, Chris Burns.
And me, Courtney Revolution.
Join us and a few surprise guests from your favorite Netflix reality shows on Saturday, May 4th at 1 p.m. at a secret location in Hollywood.
To be announced.
Get your tickets for the We Have the Receipts live show at tudum.com/WHTR. That's Tudum, TUDUM.com/WHTR.
Tickets are limited. If you can't make it to the show, we still want to hear your beautiful voice. Leave us a message at speakpipe.com/WeHaveTheReceipts.
You may even hear your own voice on the show.
Grab a ticket at tudum.com/WHTR.
And we'll see you on May 4th in Los Angeles. Bye, cashiers.
When it was time to go out and be with other friends, I kind of like would kick her to the curb.
But she couldn't get rid of me. We did get on each other's nerves, but she couldn't get rid of me if she wanted to.
I figured since I couldn't get rid of her, I might as well like her.
You're listening to Skip Intro with me, Krista Smith.
When Regina King and her younger sister Raina were born, their parents bestowed both of them with names that are literally fit for two queens. After working in the TV and film industry as child actors, any Gen Xers will fondly recall Regina's 5-year run on the sitcom 227 alongside Marla Gibbs. They eventually found their individual callings, Raina behind the camera and Regina in front of it. In 2017, they decided to form a production company, Royal Ties Productions. And it seems only right that they gave it a name as regal as their own. The last time Regina was on the podcast was in 2021, and she was about to begin production on their first film with Netflix, Shirley, which follows the first Black congresswoman and political icon, Shirley Chisholm, and her trailblazing run in 1972 for President of the United States. The film has been over 15 years in the making. Along the way, Regina and Raina assembled an incredible team to bring Shirley's story to life, including director, writer, and co-producer John Ridley, who won an Oscar for his 12 Years a Slave screenplay back in 2014. Shirley is truly a reflection of the love, passion, and dedication that its creators poured into it. Plus, it got Raina back in front of the camera after a 2-decade hiatus. Regina and Raina are here to talk about their experience producing and acting in the film. Regina stars as Congresswoman Shirley Chisholm, and Raina plays her sister, Muriel St. Hill. Regina and Raina, this is so exciting. Regina, I love you. I adore you. Always have, always will. Raina, I am so excited to meet you. I've heard a lot about you over the years. You guys have your own production company, Royal Ties, and Netflix is the lucky winner here. We have a deal with you since 2019. And as far as I know, this is your first film for us called Shirley, about the life of the political icon Shirley Chisholm. So one of my favorite things is to talk to siblings just because it's such a different creative process. You can never get rid of each other. Even when you fight, you have to work through it and deal with it. And we'll get to that a little bit later. But was Shirley always on your mind as to be in like your first project for Netflix? Like, how did this come to be the first film that you guys did for us?
It's been on our mind longer than our time that we've been at Netflix. This has been...
It's been on our mind
15 years.
Netflix started when they were just sending DVDs.
Yeah. Pretty much.
So tell me a little bit about the process, because I know John Ridley, he wrote it, he directed it. He also co-produces along with the two of you. He also, listeners, won an Oscar for writing 12 Years a Slave. How did it all come to be? Because we know how hard it is to make a movie in Hollywood, and we know how easy it is to have an idea, but to execute it and make a film as strong as this and a period film and all that. So I'd love for you just to take me through a little bit about that process of working with him and working with each other to make Shirley.
As Regina said, it's been 15 years in the making, so there were a lot of processes that happened that brought us to this point. And yes, you are right, it is hard to make a period piece for a certain amount of money for a person that unfortunately not enough people are familiar with. And John, I mean, 12 Years a Slave, his body of work speaks for itself, and he's so much of a historian. It just made perfect sense for him to come on board and write and help us tell the story.
Yeah, I mean, you hear 15-year process, and some people might do the math and go, well, that was long before 12 Years a Slave. But the process started with Raina and I, and we had another team of amazing writers on board at the time when we first started out on this, Sonia Winton and Jonathan Kidd. And just as time went on, our lives changed. We all were doing things. But the beauty of that, starting it all with Jonathan and Sonia, was that they're historians as well, and Sonia had such a close relationship to Shirley that they helped us do a lot of the groundwork and research.
She was almost like a library for Shirley, because she did her Yale thesis on Shirley.
Yeah, she did her Yale thesis on Shirley, so she was kind of like our encyclopedia. And so it kind of, in the beginning, allowed us to just accumulate all of this information about her and understand that we think this woman's life is so full, but there's no way we're gonna be able to tell a cradle to grave and honor her the way she should be honored. Make sure people never forget her name or once they learn who she is. And cut to, like 8 or 9 years later, when Raina and I are still are saying, we gotta get this done, but we gotta find a writer. I was doing American Crime. And I said, Raina, what do you think about John? And she was like, do it, ask him, do it now, do it today. So I like cornered him during lunch in between the trailers. And he was like, me? Absolutely. And so the dream to tell the story just kept going because it was someone in a lot of ways just fell right in to everything that we felt was important about Shirley. And it was almost as if he always felt the same way about her.
And it still was a few years after that, getting him cornered down to actually write the script and take it out to find itself a home.
Well, I think it's incredibly serendipitous that it's coming out in an election year as well. And I know when you set out to make this film, that wasn't even top of your mind, but it is incredible to think about 1968, like what a audacious creature she was. She was the first Black woman in Congress and then the first Black person to run for president. Just the boundary shattering. It was just so incredible to think about what kind of confidence and presence to be a woman of color at that time period, to be able to do that and challenge all those norms and still be so loved. I mean, she really had a lot of people in her corner voting. I mean, there's a lot of momentum behind that campaign until politics get in the way, as they do. But I was just so moved by that. And also, Regina, last time we caught up with The Harder They Fall, you were about to do this and you were talking about that fear, the fear of playing someone as important, as iconic as Shirley Chisholm, and that fear was not negative. It meant that you cared that much. And I just would love to know how you're sitting with that now as you promote this movie and talk to me and everybody else about it.
Honestly, Krista, I don't even think Raina and I fully have digested that we're here in this moment. I think we've just been going and going because we just never wanted to allow there to be a reason for us not to be here in this moment. And now that we're here, it's surreal because so many things have happened along the way. So many life changes have taken place. And we would have never thought, just when John first started writing this film, that Raina was going to be acting in this film.
That was not supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Blame that on John Ridley.
No, blame that on you.
I love that it happened.
Because it's funny that just talking about that moment by itself, John talked to Raina and did not talk to me about her playing Muriel, one of Shirley's sisters, her younger sister, and how would Raina feel about doing this? So this conversation went on without me. And so then Raina called me and she tells me John's idea. And I'm like, Mm-hmm. And she goes, so what do you think? Now, mind you, Raina, she's a producer that's on set every day and carrying a lot of weight. And she hasn't acted in a while. So I was like,
do tell.
I said, well, I don't know why you asking me. Are you ready to do it?
Oh, gosh.
And she was like, yeah, I think I am. And I was like, are you trying to convince yourself or do you really think so? And then she paused and she was like, yeah. And I just saw within my sister, just in a little short amount of time, go from, I'm not sure, to, fuck it, yeah, I am sure. Yeah.
I don't need you to help me answer this question. Yes, I'm doing it.
The New York Times is going to do a profile piece on me. They would like to speak to the family. They would like to know that you support me.
Some things go without saying.
In politics, some things need to be said.
What is it that you think you're doing with this campaign? All people do, Shirley? They talk about you. They say you're crazy.
I don't care what they say.
Because you're not the one that has to hear it. You're not the one people ask, what's wrong with your sister? How come your sister bad behave? We don't do these things. But you...
We?
But you go...
Black women?
You go humiliate yourself.
The St. Hill sisters?
You humiliate us. You're just how Papa raised you.
So that was great, and I'm glad that John had that idea because I couldn't imagine it being anyone else, and I'm just so proud of her. I hate watching myself in films, but this particular film, I had to watch it because I am a producer on it and so involved in the post and in the music and all of that, and just watching Raina be someone else's sister, and she's my sister, I really don't have the words to put into how much emotion and pride and joy that I have watching.
And I think if the auditioning process, if someone really great had nailed that Muriel role, we might not be having this conversation because we really could not locate that person. And we were at a location scout and John asked the question. And then I thought, besides I think an episode of 227 where we weren't even in the same scene, I realized we haven't done anything or acting in anything together. So it was really, really special for so many reasons, especially because I blew the dust off of acting from 30 years ago and that will probably be the last. But it's been done. It's been done.
And I love that, Regina, you're just completely transformed, as do you, Raina. I'd love for you to talk a little bit about that.
That process of the style of clothing during that period of time. The wigs,
all these braids up under a wig.
Yeah, I remember at one point I asked for the opening scene. I asked the hair, I said, can we do a different wig for this scene? Because I didn't love the previous wig, but just holding a pocketbook this way, things that will never happen, but being a woman in that 1960s look, that's how you held the pocketbook. So it really was transitioning in a very short amount of time, but also seeing all that Regina was transitioning into and embodied her on a daily basis was quite a sight to see.
I love the idea that you were dusting off the acting chops. I think that it worked so well in the film for me. I love that sisters playing sisters, but I think most importantly, it's like the tension that Shirley faces on the outside. It's so interesting to see how that doubt is mirrored inside in these smaller, more intimate relationships that she has, especially obviously with Muriel and her embarrassment almost around her success and the attention that it draws and that they're being asked all about her. I loved that part of the script because it really showed the full dimension of what was happening in her life at that time, as well as everything she was fighting on the outside. There was stuff at home that she was dealing with too. And Regina, hats off. I mean, you became her. I mean, you walk like her. It was incredible to see your transformation.
Well, first of all, thank you so much, Krista, for that. We just wanted to honor Shirley and give her her rightful place in history. I was terrified, even though developing this for so many years. And then now we're here in this moment, and it's terrifying. But I had an awesome dialect coach, Erin Washington. Just the way she encouraged me to approach it, and every doubt that I had, she always had either a story or a reminder that you're embodying Shirley, and part of embodying Shirley is finding that intersection where Regina and Shirley meet. Because the last thing we want you to do is to imitate Shirley. That's not what you're doing. You are literally embodying her, and it's the essence of her. It's the nuance things. And so listening to Shirley, I'm listening to her all the time and watching her all the time. And one of the things that I recognize is that her dialect would change. It was situational. As I look at the faces of the black youth of this country as I went from one place to another, and they said, Chisholm, we know what you're going through. We know how rough and how tough, but we know that you have the courage and the balls and the audacity to shake this system up within the system. But I need your help to do it. Hold on to your vote. So depending on where she was and who she was talking to would depend on how she would stand, how she would talk. Would you hear the Bayesian more? Would you hear Brooklyn more? Would you hear the scholar more? And when she's in her mode where she's being an orator, who is the audience when she's speaking to people? If she was tired, she might slur a little bit more. We would call them the slushy S's. And just deciding when and where and why it happens and when it changes. And Erin just keeping me on point with that helped me to just kind of relax into it and stop thinking about how am I sounding, but thinking about why is Shirley here in this moment? Why is she talking to this person? Why did she make this decision? And that was just invaluable.
Nice words, that Erin.
That Erin.
All right, I want to take you guys back to the beginning. So when you were growing up, did you like the same TV shows and the movies and the same kind of things? I mean, what was your dynamic when you were kids? And Regina, you're a little bit older.
Yes.
Okay, and I love that Regina and Raina, I mean, queen, right? I love the two queens growing up together. Could you just talk a little bit about your childhood and what that was like?
I would say that we did like the same TV shows and had a lot of the same interests. She liked scary films more than I do. I don't watch them at all anymore, but as a kid, I would watch them. We shared a room, and yes, the big sister would get in the bed with the little sister when we had watched Suspiria or Children
Exorcist.
Of the Corn.
Exorcist.
But we definitely have always had similar tastes. We used to put on productions for our parents and family members, reciting poetry from Shel Silverstein's Where the Sidewalk Ends. Raina always wanting to be a gypsy for Halloween.
Wow. She brought that in. Okay. Okay.
But we've always loved to play and be creative and make things. Our mother always allowed us to play and take those, when women wore those scarves around their necks and they would wear the little scarf holders, they were like rings to us. So we would wear the rings, you know, act things out with each other. And then when it was time to go out and be with other friends, I kind of like would kick her to the curb.
But she couldn't get rid of me. We did get on each other's nerves, but she couldn't get rid of me if she wanted to.
I figured since I couldn't get rid of her, I might as well like her.
Well, look, she could not like me, but if anyone else had a problem with me, then the real big sister would come out.
Yeah, the fight would be on.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I could say that about my sister, but you can't.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
All right, so how has that childhood relationship evolved into the professional creative relationship you guys have now? Because like I said earlier at the top of the interview, you know, you can't get rid of each other. So when you have an argument about a creative direction or something, you're in business together. So how do you work through your different POVs?
It's interesting because I think work through is an interesting word to use because, I mean, yeah, we definitely have our moments, but I wouldn't say it ever feels like we're working through it. When we disagree on something, we get to the place of agreement pretty fast. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Even if it's agreed to disagree, we move on.
Yeah.
We'll take a beat and move on because it's always about focusing on what the business is at hand. That's the partnership.
The thing that is a struggle or a thing that I miss is that because we're in business together, we miss hanging out with each other. Like last weekend, she came over for brunch and we like missed each other so much. She stayed all the way through dinner. She was like, I'm gonna be in traffic now.
Yeah. And I forgot to turn the porch light on. I was like, it's gonna be dark when I get to my house. I wasn't expecting. Yeah, we do.
Yeah, so that's the sacrifice.
Yeah.
You know, we do still spend time, but so much of our time is, you know, running the company and work related, and because we have other people that work for us. And so that, I always say that that's the tough thing, like, because we love laughing together. I know.
Make me tear up.
I know. So your question was, how did that beginning inform the now? I can't see doing this without her. I just don't know I could trust anyone. We both are so personal and really treasure family and just relationships. And I just feel like in this business that's so snaky, to be able to know that somebody could say, well, Raina said something. No, she didn't. I know she didn't say that, and vice versa. And to have that is invaluable. You can't pay someone to do that, because who they are never gonna be that, because they don't have 40-something years.
45 plus.
years of just growing together. And we're still growing.
We're still growing. And it doesn't really feel so much as a working through, because quite honestly, a lot of our POVs are the same. We feel the same about, you know, we're watching a movie, that was a bad moment or that was a bad scene. We felt the same way about that moment. So
We just deliver it differently.
The deliveries are definitely quite different. Yes, this is true.
All right. So I want to ask you about your mom, because I know that, Regina, you've talked about how influential and how important she is to you and the advice that she's given you. Do you guys have one piece of advice that's been the best that you've gotten from your mother that keeps coming up in your life as adult?
It's been huge with everything that our life changing over the past couple of years. Just her constantly reminding us that God is everywhere. And because I've had a lot of struggle with my faith, you know, because we always speak about God is great, always using terminology that has to do with rosy this and positive this, and that it's not a negative or a positive when
it comes to relationship.
It's just your relationship with God, and just the reminder that where you are, there God is. And so I just feel like that's kind of something that she's still always reminding us about, whether it's you're on a call with mom one-on-one or I'm on a call.
Because technically she was our first Shirley Chisholm for us.
Yes. Yeah, we would not have known.
Shirley Chisholm was not covered in U.S. history when I was in school.
She would be covered during Black History Month, and it would be 3 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, I don't remember that actually happening at my school at all.
Your school. That's your school.
And I was at the magnet school.
I mean, so that's one of the things that I guess mom constantly keeps present for us. What's another that's a big one? It's in the process, I guess.
In the process.
Knowing that it is going to be a process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's just a walking, talking, just book of quotes.
I remember one that that Regina, you and I had talked about this over the years about, like, finish what you started, right? Which, of course, is something I always say to my boys now. Yeah. Whether they heed it or not, I don't know. All right, I wanted to talk about your other project for us, which is A Man in Full, which is the Tom Wolfe book that you have adapted and created into a series, and you've directed it. Just give my listeners a little taste of the thrill of what's next with you two.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that both of these made it to the finish line, we are like, whew, all right, girl.
They were both feats.
Yeah, it wasn't easy to do. But I think for me, just after doing so many, like, weighty dramas, I felt that it was just so exciting and refreshing to have the opportunity to be able to tell a satirical story. And there's no one better, the Tom Wolfe, David Kelly combination, both of those two. That is their style in their writing. So when that opportunity came, I was kind of like, I called Rain and me. I was like, girl, you won't believe this email I just got. I told her, I read it out loud, and she was like, wait a minute, David Kelly? I was like, Allie McBeal, David Kelly. Danny Crane. I emailed him back, and we got on the phone. And he said that the story is one that she's been wanting to tell for years. And he saw One Night in Miami, and he felt like I could come aboard with him, and he needed me to help him find the humanity as well as keeping it in this satirical place so that we can craft something that was a combination of both. So I said, yeah. And so our companies joined forces, and Matt Tinker was to David, kind of like Raina and I are. So the four of us just hit it off really well. And I wanted to bring a director on board that I knew we had this similar sensibility and that was strong, and that I knew I could trust his eye. But it's a partnership. We got to agree on things. And so when Tommy Shalami's name came up, it was something we could agree on. All four of us were like, yes.
The Shalami.
I call him my Shalami. Tommy came on board, and we just hit the ground running. And it has been an amazing learning experience. And I hope that everyone receives the show how we intended.
Well, I cannot wait for it. I'm thrilled that we have it. And I always love everything that you do. And now that I got to meet Raina, now I'm going to think of you in double, which is really exciting for me personally. But every time I see you, Regina, it's just incredible, the career you've had. And just, it's been such a privilege to witness it throughout the decades. And just to see everything you've done and see you directing now. And just, it's great. And this film, all of it, I'm just thrilled that we have you here at Netflix. But thank you both for your time. I'm sorry I'm not
thank
there in
you.
Person to give you both hugs, but your I'm sending hug. It through.
Thank you, Krista. But I just have to say, before you get off, just, you have supported me throughout it all. And a lot of people don't know this, and it's always those silent supporters that without them, you would not be where you are. And you were banging for me when a lot of people in that magazine space were not. And you never let it go. You would tell me how I moved you, and you felt like I deserved to be way beyond what anyone else was seeing. You saw it and always expressed it, but not with your words, with your actions. And thank you, my sister.
Thank we would you. Call that a Shirley moment.
Yes.
That's a Shirley
that's
moment.
That's a Shirley moment.
Oh, that's so lovely to hear. Thank you so much for that. All right. Mwah.
Shirley is streaming now on Netflix. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Krista Smith, your host and creator of the show. Skip Intro is produced and edited by Isabel Arricchio and engineered by Dave Corwin. Special thanks to our coordinator, Alyssa Hillman. Please subscribe, rate, and review Skip Intro wherever you've been listening. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Krista Smith. If you enjoy the podcast, please go to NetflixQ.com for more. That's NetflixQUEUE.com.